You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Coming to you live from the Cross Country Mortgage Campus in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland. Here are your hosts, Bo Bishop and Nathan Zagura.
All right, let's do it live on a Thursday edition of the program. Bo and Z, merely Bo, the great Z, the great Gibby. I'm not at the CCMC. I can't do it. We have a back disaster is what we have here at the compound. And you guys probably will remember in, I believe it was the spring of 21 when, or 20, it could have been COVID. When I threw it out and it was out for like 3 weeks and it was DEFCON.
I remember.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah. So since that point, I have taken various, I have a regimen and various protocols that I take to in an attempt to prevent it from ever happening again, and have been feeling relatively good on that front from that time forward until this morning. I've been battling a little bit of a cough for a couple of weeks from the kids. It just keeps getting passed around, and I was walking into my office, prepping my morning opportunities, and I just coughed, and I fell to the floor. Just crumbled to the floor.
Coughs and sneezes are dangerous, man.
It's violent.
We're men over 40. Yeah.
I'm screaming. I'm yelling at my wife, who is still sleeping. I'm yelling at my wife, can you help me? She doesn't hear me. I felt like Tony Soprano after Uncle Drew got him, and he was crawling trying to get to a phone. I was crawling trying to get to the point where I could grab onto something and pull myself vertical. So that I could at least kind of have an operate, because I've been through this before. And so I know what's coming here. This goes all the way back to a football thing that happened when I was in high school. But I was able to crawl myself up and get upright, but not thrilled about the opportunity. And you can see, like, we're streaming the show here on our own little stream. I'm like the Leaning Tower of Pisa is basically what you got with me right now. Like, I'm crooked.
Yeah, I hate that for you. I really do. It makes me very sad for you.
Nana was integral. We don't need to get into the details, but she was integral in getting me to this point. So thank you, Nana.
Yeah, for sure. She did a good job. Well, I'm sad that you're not feeling well. For those who are concerned about Asa, she's been fully examined today. No ligament damage, no structural damage, no broken bones. Swelling in one knee, so maybe she like strained a ligament, perhaps.
Yeah,
and
sure.
He is hopeful, the vet, that it will resolve itself with some increased steroid juice.
And all it cost was your mortgage payment for the next 2 months.
No, we didn't have a surgery, so I think we're okay.
But
not yet. Well, I mean, if there's nothing torn, let's just calm down for a second. And by the way,
do you think that this is a ruse?
I don't know what it is. Obviously, she did something. I think it was she originally hurt her front paw. That's fine. She overcompensated when she wasn't walking on her front paw. And I think it's a little harder for them to go one leg front as opposed to one leg back.
Okay.
She can kind of hop it around. She's doing great as a three-legged dog, though. I got to give her a lot of credit. She is for
a
dog that,
that.
Think about her whole life has been spent with four legs, and all of a sudden one day it's three legs, and she is like, at first couldn't get up on the couch, couldn't figure out how to get upstairs, and now it's. She's kind of like a normal dog. It's kind of wild.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic.
She's eating. She's happy. She's thrilled. So hopefully she will be. We'll be good there. As you well know, no official news now necessarily on anything from the Cleveland Browns as to what's going on. And I would like people, and maybe this is I'm responding to like a couple people that are shouting at me in the darkness, but that's fine.
You are.
I will.
You
probably
be careful.
But
yeah.
you have to understand that this is Cleveland Browns alias. This is emanating from the Cleveland Browns headquarters.
That's right.
I am a Cleveland Browns employee.
Correct.
And so it could be taken as though I am an official spokesperson of the Cleveland Browns, which in many cases I am.
Yeah.
So we cannot get into certain things as being definitive, and I think we do a very good job of that, but or get into reasons or get into other things when they are not official.
Yeah.
From the Cleveland Browns.
That's
so
right.
We're going to tell you what's being reported, which we did yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's also, I think people don't understand or maybe forget a little bit that we're in this building. We know Alex Van Pelt. We know Stump. We yep. know TC. We have interviewed them. We have spent time with all of them.
Yeah.
So while people are getting all excited and, you know, well, what are we going to do here, there, whatever, like these are still people who lost their jobs that we know. So if you're thinking that this is going to be, oh, we're going to go celebrate this or immediately, you know, dive into what's next and who are these, and we'll talk about all of that stuff. But you have to understand there's a pacing to it that we are under a different auspices than perhaps an independently run radio show would be. If
yeah.
that makes sense to people. So
I hope it
I
makes
feel
abundant
like
sense.
For,
that's why we created
people
the
forget
scores.
That. Right. People, you know, I think, like, forget that at times. And, you know, that's what it is. And obviously, I don't think it's also a big stretch to say that if these changes are, in fact, confirmed. And, I mean, look, AVP told Jake Trotter, who was on the show yesterday. So
yeah,
it feels like it said that way. And I'm sure they probably just want to get all the ducks in a row mm-hmm. before they make an official statement about it. But the Browns obviously did this because they felt like, and Jake actually updated his reporting last night and talked about kind of what I alluded to, was that mm-hmm. they had asked him to stay on in a different capacity
sure.
than the offensive coordinator, and it sounds like he declined that and has moved on. The Browns obviously felt like there was something that needed to be done on the offensive side to make this situation go. And I think that you look at, and Jake had a good point yesterday, the prospective pool of candidates to come take this job, you can put into two buckets. Bucket one, Kevin keeps calling the plays.
Yeah.
The candidates that would fall there. Then bucket two, candidates that will come in because they are getting to call plays. And so you have to at least think with this move, on some level, there is maybe more of an openness to that than perhaps there has been in the past from Kevin's standpoint.
Yeah, you know, this is, it's a mirror situation to the one that I deal with down 71 South in Columbus, in that Ryan Day, much like Kevin Stefanski, was hired because of, in part at least, because of their ability to call a ball game. That's a big reason why yep. Ryan Day's the coach at Ohio State. It's a big reason why Kevin Stefanski's the coach here. So the reason, the biggest reason that you were hired, right, is, and then for it to even consider pulling that away is that's a massive conversation when you have that, because the reason that you get the job is because of this specific skill set. There's a rhythm to it. There's a,
of course, and I think he's
a pattern, and I think he's one of the best play callers around, is evidence yes. of the fact that he's going to win his second coach of the year award most likely this year when that award is announced. And so, like, the idea that he would give that up, and this is just me talking, nothing to do with what you were talking about in terms of Browns and the way that we
sure.
do a show. I would say, good Lord, why give that up? That's what you do. That's what makes you special. I said the same thing to Ryan Day. He's going to give up play calling. Ryan Day's going to give up play calling in Columbus. That's going to happen because he's wearing too many damn hats. You don't have to wear all those hats in the NFL. Many coaches call their own plays. But
yes.
you could see a situation, Z, where you have an Andy Reid situation where you have – kind of like collaborative play calling is the way that I would explain probably the Chiefs situation through the last few years. So maybe that's something that they could emulate.
It is. And then, so what you, again, and this is speculation. This is not
sure.
based on anything. These are not scores, but when you, and that's why I said, you have to think about it from two pool candidate groups, right?
Sure.
So I think Kevin Stefanski is an elite play caller.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's an elite play sequencer, especially when he's running the things that are at his core that have gotten yeah. him to this point. And I think you could see that going back to Minnesota with Kirk Cousins. I think you could see that at times with Baker. You could certainly see that with Jacoby. And you could see it this year with Joe Flacco. Because Flacco is kind of that hard play action, big strong arm guy. Jacoby was a big guy who could stand in the pocket and deliver the football. Baker not as big of a guy, but I think they obviously they had it really cooking. That's before the league really. It feels like the last couple of years they've caught much more onto the boot game, the keeper game, than you know, because it just started becoming so prevalent around the league, and you were still able to be really effective with that in 2020. To me, if it is a situation where he's willing to give up play calling, I think it is on some level a signal that Deshaun Watson's – what makes Deshaun Watson elite and special and what makes Kevin Stefanski elite and special as a play caller within his scheme are not perfect meshing. They don't mesh perfectly.
Not perfect alignment there.
So that you would be looking for somebody who could potentially bring an offense to bear that is more in line with the things that, for example, Deshaun truly does excel at. Now, I think you're going to, and ultimately what that gives you, in my opinion, is an opportunity to have the best of both worlds where you can get Deshaun drilling on those, that hard play action, that under center, all of those concepts that are at the core of what Stefanski does, but also have a completely different approach. And people are saying, oh, fresh ideas. It's not about fresh ideas. It's more about understanding the things that work in the National Football League for similar style quarterbacks to the one that you've got.
Right.
And so I would look certainly at a guy like Shane Steichen and what he did. Now, he's not available. He's the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. And by the way, his loss in Philadelphia was felt immensely. So these guys aren't grow on trees. It's not cookie cutter. Oh, I work with Shane Steichen. I can do what Shane Steichen did, because that clearly wasn't the case in Philly. But if you're going to attract somebody that you think is a hot ascending guy with that kind of vision or skill set, it's likely to land him. That person will want to call plays.
Yeah. For sure.
Or you go in a completely different direction, and it's maybe it's somebody that you think is an established play caller in the league that takes some of that burden off and is able to do more. You know, it has a different perspective on offense than that Shanahan Kubiak style that you know is kind of the core of what you know Kevin does. And obviously, our ground game has changed immensely thanks to Bill Callahan and Scott Peters, with a lot more pin pull, a lot more power than just the outside inside zone or the mid zone. So that's kind of where how I read these things. And I know you guys come here because this is a show about the Browns, but we can only get into certain things that we can get into at the times we are able to get into them.
And correct.
We're doing the best we can. This is, you think about it, it's a difficult situation. We're in the building talking about people who may have lost their jobs, according to many, many reports, but it's not necessarily official outside of the building from the inside, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and there's a – I think it does. I think you put that very well, and it puts kind of the issue at hand there. And so you have these conversations dancing around it until you get some sort of – before you can finally talk about it fully. But you also have to acknowledge, to the point yesterday, and we had give it a great job, get Jake on, and Jake talked to Alex Van Pelt, and then there you go. That's a way of doing it. So I think from the thing about Kevin Stefanski, and really – you think of the brain trust here, whether it's Kevin or AB, Paul, all of them are curious minds. And I don't think any of them are rest on your laurels guys, or we have all the answers to all the tests guys. They're all, how can I get more information? And I just think that as you're talking about these offensive changes, the notion was that maybe you've gone as far as you can that way, and there's better out there to be attained. And to get better will require new voices. And these guys are all willing to listen to new voices, and they're all malleable to change. And so to me, I think that's kind of what this thing was about. It doesn't mean that some of this stuff wasn't surprising to us, because it was for me.
Sure. And it was.
Yeah,
yes.
For sure. I mean, you saw this coming.
No.
And so it's surprising, but also when you take a step back and you say, you know, what we know about these guys, I think it kind of lines up a little bit. And speaking of that, there are more reports today. According to Mary Kay Cabot, Deuce Staley was in the building yesterday interviewing for a job on the offensive staff, most recently running back coach in Carolina, Detroit, and Philly. The Browns also reportedly interviewed Texans outside linebacker coach Ryan Crowe for the defensive line coach job. No reports on defensive coaches, so who knows what to make of that.
Yeah, Ben Bloom, I thought, did a great job this year.
Yeah.
And he's a guy that has been here for a while and that they like. Now, obviously, was he Jim Schwartz's guy? No. Ryan Crowe worked with Jim Schwartz in Tennessee, so maybe there's a connection there. There have been no reports, no rumors, anything about what's going on there with Ben Bloom. And I love Ben Bloom, so I am certainly hoping that Ben Bloom is the defensive line coach, and maybe he's being brought in as an assistant. Something, who knows what's going on with Ryan Crow from that Tennessee staff. Hardly. We don't know yet.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, keep going.
I was just going to do this last one on from CBS Sports. Jonathan Jones, Browns interviewing Seahawks offensive line coach Andy Dickerson for the offensive coordinator job. So there's another one that's out there reportedly.
All right. So a couple of things. First, Andy Dickerson is the offensive line coach of the Seahawks, who I don't know if you remember when we interviewed Ben Bloom, played Tufts football with Ben Bloom.
That's right, yeah.
Ben Bloom was the D-line coach going against the O-line coach, told that awesome story about the two of them and how they've been around the league, and Dickerson and Shane Waldron, who ended up being the OC there in Seattle. So that's kind of wild in the light of as a back-to-back news item. They're best friends. Ethan Posick was on the Seattle line when Dickerson was promoted to the Seattle offensive line. He is a big fan of his, said that he is an incredibly – this is Posick's quote about him. Posick said that he was an incredibly intelligent coach, and what he did on this team and how he changed their run game was great. He said, quote, Coach Andy Dickerson, he gets it. He's smart. He gets it. Very intelligent, especially with the mid-zone stuff, which we really started running very well. So he got a lot of credit for making Seattle a pretty good running attack with Rashad Penny, and then obviously they drafted Kenneth Walker, and then this year adding Zach Charbonnet. So that's an interesting one because of Bloom and Dickerson's relationship first, just right out of the gate. I find that to be very wild. And again, I big Ben Bloom fan, so certainly am hoping that he is still here with the Cleveland Browns. People who are wondering for Dickerson kind of on his background, he spent some time with the Rams under Sean McVay. He's been in the league for 18 years. He was 9 years with the Rams. He was the Seahawks run game coordinator starting in 2021. Spent previous 9 seasons with the Rams after serving with similar roles with the Browns and the Jets. So he actually was with the Cleveland Browns. So 9 years with the Rams. Trying to see where he was here with the Browns. He was the assistant offensive line coach and in 2010, defensive quality control coach for the Browns in 2009.
Wow. So that goes back a ways.
Yeah. So he's been with the Saint. He's been with, like I said, 9 years. So he was pre-McVay, post-McVay as well there on the offensive line with the Rams, and then left to go when Shane Waldron got that OC job. Followed Shane Waldron to Seattle.
All right. So there you go.
That's who he is. One other thing, again, in the world that we're operating in, this is from Stump Mitchell.
Yeah, just a few minutes ago.
Stump Mitchell posted a statement.
Saying goodbye.
Since my arrival at the franchise bearing the esteemed name of Paul Brown by way of Coach Freddie Kitchens, my time in Cleveland has been nothing short of extraordinary. I extend my heartfelt gratitude to team owner Jimmy and D. Haslam, general manager Andrew Berry, chief strategy officer Paul DePodesta, and Coach Stefanski for an enriching 5 seasons as the running back coach / run game coordinator. I want to express my sincere thanks to the players and running backs who have donned the Browns helmet, giving their all to achieve success on game day. I devoted my efforts to maximize your hard work and talent, and it has been a rewarding journey. The Browns organization played a pivotal role in embracing my vision of incorporating the Bill Willis Diversity Coaching Fellowship into their framework. Over the past 3 years, this program has provided opportunities for 3 young black coaches, starting with Ashton Grant, followed by Israel Wolfork, now serving as the quarterback coach for the Arizona Cardinals, and Nemo Washington. Above all, I'm deeply grateful for the unwavering support of my family and my love for the dedicated and hardworking fans of Ohio, particularly the Browns backers. Your support is truly appreciated. I look forward to the next phase of my coaching career. Thank you. Sincerely, Stump Mitchell. Go Browns. What a class.
That's
class
cool,
act.
Man.
What a class act.
Yeah.
Big Stump fan. And obviously, the running backs who were here, Kareem, Chubb, they couldn't say enough good things about Stump Mitchell. So very classy statement there from a very classy and very well-respected individual.
So George Warhop was the offensive line coach in 2010.
Okay.
Hoff could give us some insight on
so
that.
So Hoff would know.
But Warhop and Warhop is very well thought of, not by Joe Thomas, Doug Deacon, a number of guys say he's one of the best offensive line coaches this franchise has ever had.
Now, what's interesting to me, Bo, and this is just surface level, right, is that it feels like Dickerson, and maybe he's been groomed for this. I mean, he's been in the league for a long, long time. And I think he got promoted to their run game coordinator as well. you know, he hasn't called plays. Is that somebody that you would bring in to a, and immediately turn the keys over if it is, in fact, that the Browns are interviewing, or is he somebody that would be coming in with Kevin calling the plays?
I would think it would be the latter, right?
I don't know. I think everything's on the table. I don't know. We'll see as we kind of look through the various names that come out. I'm guessing maybe more will be come clear.
It's just such a critical time.
Yes.
Despite a bunch of crazy things that have happened, whether it be COVID or the Deshaun stuff, Kevin has won more than anybody who has been here and has created offense sometimes out of nothing. And it just, to me, it would seem to, in order for him to give it up, it would have to me, be somebody who was so proven in it or someone who was intimately locked with Deshaun Watson.
Or considered like that, to be like the next megastar, sure.
Yeah, and like a guy who's like, oh, I know how to make – that Watson's like, this is the guy that I can get the most out of. I can get the most out of Deshaun. I've done it. I know how to do it. I'm familiar. I know what he likes. Because it's – when you think about play calling, that's why it's a symphony that you're conducting. And you have to have people who see it – that's why I said that with Flacco. Flacco very – and we asked him this when he was in studio with us a couple weeks ago. Like, do you see it the way – and he was like, I don't ever think of it that way. But I guess maybe I do. And that's kind of the thing that you're looking for to get that type of cohesion with Watson. That's
agreed.
Job one. So whatever it takes to do that, you do it.
Agreed.
So those are your hot topics today, presented by Vivid Seats, official fan experience partner of your Cleveland Browns. We have the mailbag coming up at 2:30 on the program. There's a lot of news on the coaching front in the National Football League. We've got thing or not a thing. All sorts of fun coming your way for the next hour and 40. We are off and running. You listen to Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, sports betting partner of your Cleveland Browns, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Medical mistake caused you injury? Call the medical malpractice attorneys at 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud partner of your Cleveland Browns. It is a mailbag Thursday edition of the program. Get those questions in to Gibbe at Browns_daily on the social, and he will have those available for us all coming up at 2:30. Some interesting news on the coaching front. I am stunned that the Cowboys retained Mike McCarthy. I just think it's an incredible thing, with just one exception.
If to
fire him, you have to admit I was wrong, and that's something that's very hard for Jerry Jones to do. He hung on to Jason Garrett forever, because he was so committed to him being the eventual. He was a successor to Parcells. I'm pretty sure. I think I have that right. And then he had it the whole time. And in order to fire him, you have to say, well, I got that one wrong. And I think that's kind of might be what's happening here with McCarthy.
I think that's fair. And then everything that's coming out of there is that Dak.
Yes.
Dak really stood on the table for him.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
Dumb.
And I understand that from Dak's standpoint. Like,
Dak had it the best year of his career.
Correct. He's going to be second in the MVP. Yeah. He had the best year of his career. They fell on their face in the playoffs, but like at that point in your career, and Dak, by the way, is coming up on an extension. Like, they're going to give him one, and he does not want to. Why would he want to learn a new system? And the people who were rumored there, even at the highest edge, the biggest names, we'll get to Belichick in a second. Belichick, Harbaugh, Vrabel, all of those guys were going to bring in a new system. There wasn't a coordinator there that they were going to be able to keep because McCarthy's calling the plays. It's his offense.
Right. Right.
I don't know. Like, if you have the coaching pedigree that's available to you right now, and you got a guy with 1 year left, aren't you pulling the plug?
Let me just devil's advocate for you. I mean, you're acting like Mike McCarthy, and we all have our opinions, whatever they may be, is like a jabroni on the corner. Like, the guy's a Super Bowl champion.
He had won a playoff game for the Cowboys.
Not for them, no.
Okay.
When's the last time?
Double-digit wins.
When's the last time Bill won a playoff game?
I don't know. We hand out playoff trophies for regular season.
When's the last time Bill Belichick won a playoff game? When's the last time Mike Tomlin won a playoff game?
I think you're doing this to go at Gibby. You don't really believe in McCarthy, do you?
No, I said we all have our feelings about him. I said, but I was just going to give with Gibbe a little guess of stats. What do you think Dak's stats were this year?
Well, clearly he's an MVP candidate, and we've talked about him maybe being the best quarterback in the NFC.
70% completions, 4,516 yards, 36 touchdowns, 9 picks, rating of 106.
Perfect. And you're married. 0-1 in the playoffs, and you're no better than
agreed.
You're
my
married
football
to
team,
Prescott,
Ryan.
Though. You're married to him, and again, the other I think Prescott's probably the biggest reason that nothing happened. I think that's all. The
I think that's exactly that is.
Yeah, that's it. That he was like, look, I'm not learning a new offense. I don't want to do this. And they've gone 12-5 for 3 years in a row. So all of those things can be true, and it can also be true that Mike McCarthy is historically a complete flop in the postseason. Like he hit to win one Super Bowl with a combination of Favre and Rodgers is pretty wild.
Yeah. By the way, they won a playoff game last year, Gibbe.
And then got drilled.
They haven't been to an NFC championship game since. Did Romo get there once with Garrett or Parcells?
The Cowboys?
Yeah.
That I don't know. Let's see.
It's been a minute. I mean, you're coming. Think about this, guys, just you want to feel old. You're coming up on 30 years since the Cowboys have been in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Like it's 1995.
Yeah, America's team.
Woo! All right, here we go. Woo! The last time you played in a conference championship or last time you played in a conference championship, 1995 when they won their last Super Bowl.
Holy. So it's been 30 years almost, 28 seasons since they have played in the NFC championship.
January of 95?
This is their after
no,
the 95
season.
96?
95 season. Oh.
This is their.
I remember that.
This is the only three consecutive seasons with 12 wins for this franchise since the 92 to 95 run.
Mm-hmm. That's so
and that's,
long ago.
That's the list.
Yeah.
They had one stretch where they went 12 or more 4 out of 5 years in the 70s. But, I mean, like, I'm with you. Look, he's gone 12-5 three straight years.
Yeah.
Like, they got to figure out what they need to do in the postseason, but
the window
he's done
is
pretty well.
Now.
It's yeah.
So you think?
Yeah,
I would have made. I'd have pulled the trigger. Hey,
is it blasphemy to think that it's possible that Bills maybe lost a little bit of the heater?
No, not at all. I think it's very possible. He's been exposed pretty badly,
this is all
especially
going into the next segment.
Which, well, no, this is still this segment.
No, this is
this
segment.
No. I
we're
know.
Here. We're
it's
fine.
Starting to
we're fine.
We're bleeding a little bit, but that's okay.
No,
it's
you're
a good
safe.
Thing.
You're safe. Belichick was 0.2 here in the head coaching tracker.
Yeah.
So the thing with Belichick, he can't draft.
Yeah. So Belichick the coach versus Belichick the GM.
Now, defensively, which is his forte, they've been very good. Even amidst the struggles. But he can't draft skill position players. He can't develop quarterbacks. He can't draft quarterbacks. So that's where his mess is. And I think Belichick would have been more easy in Dallas or possible in Dallas if there was a holdover coordinator. Like if let's say Kellen Moore were still there and was still calling the plays and Dak was having this success, you could keep Kellen Moore theoretically and have Belichick be the head coach and Moore is the play caller. But if you run McCarthy – you got to put in a whole new offense. And that's
for
the
sure.
That's the problem. And that's he's not Dak doesn't want to do that. I don't blame him.
I don't blame him either. And Dan Quinn is regarded as one of the best defensive coordinators in the league.
Right. Right.
So they've already got that.
Yeah. Now, one other thing, God, I can't throw up my bag. Be careful.
By the way, last time Belichick won a playoff game was the 2018 season, which was Tom Brady's last Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, the next year,
the following year, they lost in the
wild card. Out,
somehow he got that
wild
card team. Wasn't that with like Cam Newton?
Didn't make it.
Wasn't that Cam
Newton? 2021?
Wasn't Cam in 19?
Was Cam that long ago? Is 21 rookie Mac Jones?
I thought it was rookie Mac Jones.
Yeah, Mac Jones was in 2020. He played for Alabama in 2020.
Yeah, so 19.
I think it was Cam Newton.
Yeah, it has to be. That team went, or was it?
I think Brady was still there.
Brady always made
the
playoffs.
Yeah, Brady was
there.
Still there in 19 and lost in the wild card. Then he left. Cam went the next year 7-9. They didn't go to the playoffs.
Okay.
And then Mac Jones rookie year, they go to playoffs. And then since then, no playoffs.
So speaking of Bill, he's doing his second interview in Atlanta, according to Jorcina Anderson, who gets a lot of these things right. Belichick is expected to be the next head coach of the Falcons, barring a snag in negotiations and future development. This one makes all the sense. It's just a matter of who's the quarterback.
Well, I think it's the most attractive job, but that's, of course, with me getting Justin Fields to go, that's part of my package deal. It's who's the quarterback and then who's the OC, right? I mean, that to me is the marriage. And obviously the problem with what you've done is you're not going to be able to get in Atlanta Monken, which I think if you got Fields, Monken would have been the perfect person to come and take over that whole operation. And so that's not going to happen now. He's, you know, he's interviewing some jobs. I don't know if people think he's going to get any of those jobs, which is pretty wild to me. But, you know, you're not going to pry him away from Baltimore by calling him, you know, associate head coach and offensive coordinator. That's not, I don't think he's interested in that.
No, not at all. Which leads us to a little thing or not a thing, Gibbe.
Yeah, a little thing or not a thing.
Gibbe, you really produced the heck out of this one.
There's a lot here, man. There's a lot of meat on the bone.
Try it for you, buddy.
Man, like, Gibbe.
Hey, no, not just P. Me. Jacob squared.
Huge P.
Good job.
Yeah. Uno
Ocho.
Griff.
Uno Ocho.
Good job, boys.
Griff is dressed up to the nines today.
What's he got on? Give it to me.
He's got a beautiful kind of like checkered button down.
Yeah.
He's got his chain. He's got
yesterday. Uno and I had the look yesterday. Really, and he was like, what's going on? I go, I'm not wearing finally gear quaffed. 5 days a week.
Oh, that's
great. It's a lovely quaffing of the hair.
Yeah.
He looks. He had a lot of hands-on work experience yesterday.
What is that, velvet?
Yeah.
Very hands-on.
Very.
Boy.
Yep.
That's right. Keep your distance.
Easy.
Dan Graziano, a good friend at ESPN, he has his predictions for each head coach vacancy. I'm going to ask you, if you are in the position of these teams, would this be a thing or not a thing? Would you agree or would you
make
go
this
somewhere
a thing?
Else? Yes.
Yep.
The Atlanta Falcons, he says Bill Belichick. Obviously, I believe that's a thing from the two of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Jocena's basically said it. So.
And you also outlined yesterday something I thought was very important when you talked about the Atlanta attractiveness, the division.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of like that wasn't the AFC East for him forever.
Yeah.
Up next, the Carolina Panthers. They've talked to a number of different candidates so far. His prediction for the Carolina Panthers, Bengals OC Brian Callahan. Thing or not a thing if you're Carolina?
I'm sure if you are Carolina.
Number one, you don't have a quarterback and you don't have a first round.
You better have
a
quarterback.
So you're
trying to get somebody who's worked with a quarterback that you think can be good, and maybe that's what they think. That Brian Callahan, or as we like to call him on the rundown, Brain Callahan.
Yeah.
We'll see how.
Does say Brain. Yeah. Brain Callahan.
Oh, God. I hope Udo's face is on camera right there. He gave like the oops.
Oh, that's good.
Udo, we keep you on your toes because we love you. I hope you know that.
I'm just keeping you on your toes. Make sure you're reading it right.
Well, so far, you always burgundy. I've identified every prompter error. I've been pretty good on him.
He's constantly Ron burgundying us, testing us.
Yeah,
testing us. I think this is sacrificial lamb. This is 2 years to slaughter, and you hope for the best, and maybe they all realize that down there. The one thing I would be curious about, and I know Ohio State is pursuing him doggedly to be the offensive coordinator down there. Bill O'Brien was at Alabama when Bryce Young was there as the offensive coordinator. Would he – if you're running that, if you're in that brain trust, would that be a direction to go because of the familiarity with the guy that you deem number one overall?
You could. I mean, I'll tell you, according to S, it's a done deal down there in Columbus. So
S is ahead of his skis a little bit. I'll just say
he might
be
out of the running. Okay. All right.
He's a little ahead of his skis.
A little S bow combo.
Not saying it's – I just said they're in high-speed pursuit, and I understand, but – We're not finish line yet, S.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't. Would he want to do that, though, after you kind of have a failed stint in Houston? Do you say to yourself, I'm going to put myself in a bad position again?
But he's another one that is head coach. It was okay.
He was
wasn't
good.
Great.
I mean, they went to the
but
playoffs.
When he became GM and started trading away assets.
And their offense
so
was
great.
Good with Watson there
when
he was the head coach. The offense was really good. Like, To me, that's what I would be looking for. Somebody who believes in Bryce Young and knows the type of player he is. Because I think Bryce Young is such a unique situation. I don't think you can just run anything with him.
I agree with that. I think that's going to be an interesting one. My question, if Brian Callahan, son of Bill, gets a head coaching job.
Yeah, I know.
Like, isn't that a hard situation for your dad to be like, nah, I'm good, even though it's not a great situation?
Maybe you don't want to work with your kid. Maybe your kid doesn't want to work with you.
I would.
Maybe there's a little extra pressure there.
I don't know.
Let's hope.
Yeah. I don't know. I think if I was coming to be a head coach and my dad was Bill Callahan,
would you hire? Would you hire Pedro?
Operation. Well, if the field was being an elite Cliff Clavin, and that's what I had to be, then yes.
In a pre-Google world.
Yes, in a pre-Google world, if I needed a chief fact officer.
Yeah.
Yes, I would have hired him, and he would have been. You would have.
I would need that on Hard Knocks, please.
It would have been a great. It would have been
spectacular.
It would have been a great. It would have been great. He would have been.
There would be no
probably the best to ever do it.
What I would ever hire my father to do anything.
Wow,
we're not working in the same building.
What?
Zero chance.
Yeah.
No chance.
Well, I think this. Perhaps this is
a better.
I think that if you
less
let's
yoke.
Just say that you had to at some. You know, you got. You took over a huge ranch.
Yeah.
You might be like, Dad, can you, you know, you're
I'd probably call my uncle.
Somebody in the family. Yeah. In that case, you're saying.
Bloodlines,
my guess
yeah.
is you're describing a higher status. Like,
yeah.
if your dad was the best rancher in the game,
the best
Bill Callahan is, you'd probably, I think you probably want him.
Yeah, I don't know. We'd just have to see.
I still think number two is going to be just fine for me. Thanks. Yeah. We go on to Las Vegas. Graziano predicts that the Raiders will keep Antonio Pierce in-house.
Fact.
Thing or not a thing.
Thing. Keep him.
I hope it works out, too. Like,
I like
it. It's a good story. And they seem to love
him. Great guy.
Like, the players love him.
Buyer beware. Sometimes you just catch lightning in a bottle. Maybe that happened here about 4 years ago.
Yeah, but he also he strikes me as a Dan Campbell, Mike Tomlin, follow me to freedom type.
Yes.
Know what I mean? Like leader of men.
Leader of men. Yep.
Yep.
I don't know. We'll see. I do hope it works out because they genuinely seem to love him. So.
Yeah.
Los Angeles, the Chargers, Jim Harbaugh.
Yep.
Thing, not a thing.
Thing.
Yeah, that's going to happen. He's doing the funniest thing to Michigan. You guys probably aren't aware of this. So basically what they're doing is he's slow playing this contract at Michigan, which has been in front of him since October. And he just keeps like making little tweaks to it to stall it. So it doesn't looks like he's rejecting the contract. And yet the contract is still out there if somehow he doesn't get an NFL job. So that's what's happening on the other side of it is he's interviewing is that's what's going on at Michigan.
This was what happened last year. Remember he was meeting with like Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Like he was meeting with or trying to get an interview with the Vikings.
Oh, yeah. He interviewed with Kwesi on National Signing Day.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
That's right.
That happened.
What that was.
Although I think he thought he was interviewing them.
I think that's very accurate. I think it all worked out for him, though. He wins the national championship. He's going to go out beating the Bucs, winning the Big Ten multiple years, and winning the national championship.
I mean, George Costanza. All right, then. See you later. Like, that's it.
See you later.
Like,
yeah.
I think leave on a high note.
Chargers feels like the right place for him.
It does. Yeah.
By the way, when I look at this list, I don't see people beating down the door of the former Falcons coach and seemingly winner of press conferences.
He's going back to Memphis to sling boxes at FedEx.
He could. I feel pretty comfortable that we're okay.
No.
We're not going to have to interview him at any point. I feel pretty comfortable about it, but not 100% comfortable.
Don't go down that road. The Seattle Seahawks.
Could you imagine?
No.
Could you imagine?
No.
That would be as funny as after we
I don't even want to bring attention to it.
After something that you once said about a guy who's a coach that we talked about earlier in the program, if he would have had to come into the studio.
Sitting right over there on that couch.
When you walk by the Sausage.
That's right.
Boy, let's hope not. Seattle.
He's safe.
He has him hiring Mike Vrabel, who hasn't even interviewed yet.
Well, we know he's not going to Tennessee.
And we know he's not going to Dallas or Philly.
Thing or not a thing? I mean, I feel like that's a Quinn job.
If he wants it. I don't know that he does. It seems it like they do want a defensive guy. They like the OC. They like that Shane Waldron.
I don't know if it feels like a cultural fit for Mike.
It's so beautiful there, though. The Pacific Northwest, the pines.
No, it's gorgeous.
Down into the water.
Yeah, no,
huge
it's beautiful.
Sound.
I know.
Bellevue,
I
don't, a burgeoning metropolis.
Sure, I don't know.
I
we
don't
were
know
there
if,
for like 4 hours, and it was dark, and we weren't
beautiful.
Even close to downtown Seattle.
It was
just too
gorgeous. It was gorgeous.
It's a beautiful
Bellevue
town.
Is a
it's a great
town.
Town. I just don't know from – I don't know that that feels like a Vrabel fit to me. He almost feels more like Washington to me.
Yeah. Rugged. More of a classic franchise. Belichick is going to look so weird in Atlanta Falcons gear. I can
yes.
promise you that.
Yeah,
it's because the gear is not great.
What do you mean?
They just got to do the right thing and wear the right uniforms.
Exactly. The final two coaching openings, Tennessee and Washington. Graziano has both teams poaching the Lions. First, Lions DC Aaron Glenn to Tennessee, and then Lions OC Ben Johnson to Washington. I guess if Washington meets
him.
The demand money-wise.
I would flip him. I think Tennessee needs Ben Johnson. I think they need somebody for Levis. I don't think you want. I don't think Tennessee would go defense, would they? Usually you do the opposite.
Do they believe in Levis that much? I don't know. Johnson, I feel like, he is going to be a hot commodity.
Yeah.
And if Washington, if he goes to Washington, I mean, is it Sam Howell or are they drafting a quarterback? What pick do
they're picking second.
So they're picking a quarterback.
Yeah, they're going to take
so
Drake May.
So Ben Johnson makes a lot of sense going to Washington.
Yeah.
From Washington's perspective.
Sure.
All right. One other quick note. We're going to go long on segments. It's okay. We can go right into 2 o'clock on the next one.
All right, very good.
In other coaching news, Jerry Glanville. This was brought to my attention. Did you bring this to Una? Oh, no, Ocho. Yeah, the who I thought was dead.
NFL stands for not for long when you make calls
Jerry
like that.
Jerry Glanville
that's right.
just hired as a defensive coordinator for Northwest Oklahoma State football.
That's great. That's great.
How old is Jerry?
He's got to be mid-80s.
82, yeah.
82. Yeah. I was like, are you talking about his son? Talking about his kid?
No.
The guy that left two tickets for Elvis for every game.
You have to remember – you don't have to remember because if you're of a certain age, you have no point of reference. But what Z just did there, NFL stands for not for long when you make calls like that. Jerry Glanville was the 80s king of NFL films.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He was the best NFL films guy ever.
Ever.
Spectacular.
Am I misremembering? I think I'm not misremembering. Was Glanville the one who got into a fight with Kevin Gilbride?
No, that's Buddy Ryan.
Buddy Ryan. Okay. All right. Yeah.
They were on
Glanville
Jerry's
with
staff.
The Falcons.
Glanville never wanted to fight anybody.
No,
weren't
great.
They on? They were on Jerry's staff.
I think
with
that,
the Oilers.
I think that makes sense. Yep.
Yeah. Gilbride was the offensive coordinator, and Buddy, or was Gilbride maybe promoted to head coach at that point?
Gilbride.
It could have been, but yeah, because Jerry was in. Then Jerry went to Atlanta, and that was Dion and Andre Rison and
it
all
was,
that.
It was. Jets Houston, January 2nd, 1994. Buddy Ryan punched Gilbride on the sidelines. Gilbride was the offensive coordinator.
I feel like he was still an offensive coordinator like 5 years ago.
He was defensive coordinator for the Oilers. He threw a punch at offensive coordinator Kevin Gilbride. So, yeah, maybe it was Glanville's staff.
No, Glanville was in Houston from 85 to 89, and then he was in Atlanta from 90 to 93.
So this is the 93 Oilers.
Yeah.
And I'll figure out who the head coach was in a second.
But Glanville would have had – yeah, so that was it. So he went Oilers to Falcons, Jerry.
Yeah, and the Falcons is when he would – I remember he had the great one where a guy was running and he, like, hurt his ankle. He's like, he's got a hitch in his giddy-up.
Yeah.
I just remember every time the Oilers came to Cleveland Brown Stadium, the old Municipal Stadium – there were always two tickets left by Jerry Glanville for Elvis.
It's awesome.
Like,
that's
at the box
great.
Office. Like, it's a sold-out stadium. It's the toughest ticket to get in town. The Browns are 12-4, and they're the machines. Two tickets. Not quite a sellout because Elvis didn't show up.
All right.
A Jack Party.
The Jack Party. They went 12-4 that year.
So he replaced Glanville.
They dominated. Gilbride, Buddy Ryan, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. Other notable assistants, their special teams coordinator, former defensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns?
We've had so many.
Podcaster.
G-Dub.
Greg Williams.
G-Dub.
Was the special teams coordinator of the 1993 Houston Oilers.
By the way, like, Jack Pardee, he went 9-7, 11-5, 10-6, 12-4. Then in 94 is the last year in Houston. They're moving to Tennessee, and he went 1-9 and got fired. But before that, 9-7, 11-5, 10-6, 12-4.
Pretty good. One playoff win in after the 91 season.
Wild. Absolutely wild. All right, we'll do the
12-4 to 1-9.
Yeah, right. We'll whip the CBD coming up next. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
And Bo here for my friends at Jim Beam. What do sports and Jim Beam have in common? Both are better when enjoyed with others. So grab a bottle, gather with your friends, and enjoy the game. Because with Jim Beam, you come as fans and leave as family. Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Copyright 2024 James B. Beam Distilling Company, Claremont, Kentucky. Drink smart on that. Time for the CBD whip. Hello, Gibbe.
Hi.
Gibbe. How are you?
Gibbe. Fine. I'm looking at Browns Therapy's picture of Uno. Have
He's
you
got
seen
a picture?
This?
No.
Of course not.
13 minutes ago.
Okay.
I'm not excited.
Look on
to look
your
at
mentions.
This.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, man, I'm so excited.
Uno is Ron Burgundy.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't
is.
See that coming.
Well, no.
Yes, he is.
Therapy, he wants us to be Ron Burgundy.
Correct.
He's
trying to Ron Burgundy them.
I guess he's Veronica Corningstone because she's the one who put the awful thing in the teleprompter.
Yeah.
For Papa Burger.
Veronica.
He also has Pedro as Cliff right above that. If you
I love that
one's
good
it.
Too. Yeah.
That's amazing. Pedro as Cliff Clavin. I mean, that's oh my god, a young Uno, just a strapping
like
in the robe before the cannonball.
Unreal.
Jeez. It's great.
Kind of a big deal.
All right, so here we've been trying to come up with some new off season segments. So we're thinking once a week we have like a little CBD whip around. So
I like
that,
it.
Kevin. Throw a little tunage behind it. Let's have a little fun, and we'll kick things off.
Can we put Whip It behind it in the future?
We could.
Do.
I mean, let me look that up right now on this side and then try
that's
to get
fine.
Some
time.
That'd be
we're
a hell
good.
Of a pull if you have gonna, Whip It at the ready.
You must whip it.
Yeah.
I think it.
It's fine. We're going to be here for 20 minutes doing this if everything goes according to plan.
That's right. That's right.
Fact or fiction on the CBD Whip as we kick things off. Dak Prescott is the Cowboys' new version of Tony Romo.
Question: What do you mean by that?
You know what
you
he
know
means.
Exactly. What
do
I
you
mean?
I want to hear you say it.
Question:
yep. Guy that can't win the big games when it matters. By the way, I didn't get this off the top of my head. I stole it from ESPN.com, who has an article they just published. That just says, is Dak Prescott the Cowboys' new version of Tony Romo?
You know what? In his last playoff run in the year 2014, Tony Romo in the playoffs went in two games, 68%, 484 yards, four touchdowns, no picks, averaged 9.7 yards per attempt, and had a quarterback rating of 126.
So
that's
I was just going to say, I think that this is meant, I mean, I know because it's coming from you, I know that it's meant to be derogatory, and it's probably meant at ESPN to be derogatory. But it's actually, I think, an incredible compliment because a lot of teams would love to have the consistent quarterback play that the Cowboys have gotten from Romo and Prescott.
Yes,
like
agreed.
It's been top third of the league quarterback play for 15 years, and there aren't many operations that can claim that.
Correct.
I'm not overstepping, am I? Like they're both top 12 quarterbacks.
No. Yes, for sure.
Ooh.
There it is.
I like it. In this
Love
bet,
it.
That's great.
Who doesn't need this on a Thursday?
Yeah, everybody does.
Everybody.
That's it.
I
feel like my back's
going
to get cured just from listening to this.
Or you're going to be in traction by the time this segment's
Could
over.
Be both. Could be both.
All right, so you guys say fiction. I say fact. Great.
No, I think it's fact, but I mean it positively.
Same.
I think
I
Dak's
mean it
really
a
good.
Whole different way.
Yeah, we view their tenures, the Romo tenure differently.
Yeah, They're both combined. One's 2-5 all time in the playoffs. One's 2-6.
Yeah, I see it. I get it.
Huh? What is more shocking, that Bill Belichick has only met with two teams to be their head coach, or that Mike Vrabel has not been interviewed by any team for a head coach? Bo Bishop, I'll start with you.
I think it's more surprising that no one's reached out to Vrabel yet. Now, that could be of his own volition. He might want to set a cycle out. I know he was shocked by the dismissal. So maybe it's his choosing. I'm sure Belichick, the Belichick one doesn't surprise me too. So he met with Atlanta and
LA.
Chargers? Okay.
Yeah.
Those are the two best jobs. And, if you're Belichick and you think about Arthur Blank and his willingness in his early 80s to spend money and go for it all, that aligns more closely with Belichick than the Spanos family does. So I think that one kind of makes sense. I wonder if the Vrabel one, Z, is Mike choosing not to.
I think it feels like he's probably going to be very selective, because if he got fired with years remaining on his deal, which I'm guessing he did,
yeah,
he doesn't need to do anything per se. Belichick also, I think Josina said it in her tweet, right, that he has some relationship with, I think it was Rich, did you say Rich McKay?
Rich McKay, yeah.
Yeah, in Atlanta. So he's got already somebody there.
Vrabel's contract runs through 2025.
Right, so he doesn't have to do anything that he is not interested in doing.
He could be waiting out Ohio State, honestly.
Yeah. He's making $9.5 million a year.
Yeah, he could be waiting out Ohio State.
To follow that up, how the heck is Dan Quinn getting more interviews than these two combined?
I think it's what we said. I think it's choosing. And Quinn, it's a bad taste because what happened in the playoffs.
Yep, with Atlanta. And obviously a bad taste, right, with what happened with Dallas's performance in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the main reason you have, at least, and maybe he still could get interviews, but we haven't seen Jim Schwartz yet in the interviews.
Correct. Yeah. Last impression.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Dan Quinn has literally interviewed with 3 or 4 teams already and is scheduled to interview with like 2 or 3 more. I don't know if he's the number one for any of these, but he's certainly making the rounds.
If he doesn't get, if it's not Seattle, then it's hard to imagine. I think he'd be back in Dallas, especially with McCarthy back.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Who has more pressure to win in this year's playoffs, Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson? Segura.
I'll let you have the table on this, because I have a very specific answer the way I feel
about
it.
So is this not a fact? This is the only ones that say fact or fiction or fact fiction.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay, who's more pressure in this year's playoffs? I think they both have immense pressure to win in this year's playoffs. In fact, I would go so far as to say the two of them have the most pressure of any remaining quarterbacks to win in the playoffs, with third maybe being Purdy to validate who he is. Although, I mean, they did get the NFC Championship game before getting hurt last year. I think the window is probably smaller in Buffalo than it is in Baltimore. So I'll say Josh Allen. But I think those two are on their own island of pressure in the playoffs.
Agree on all fronts and agree on Allen. I think it's Allen. I don't think it's close. I think Lamar's going to win the MVP this year. They got a home game against Houston. They should win that. They're huge favorites. And this is his first year with Monken. And if Todd comes back, then they're going to run that operation kind of back. Whereas Buffalo, it's never going to align this well again for them. Burrow out, the injuries we had. You think about the top level of the sport, that you're going to get, you get two home playoff games. Like, this is the year for them. It's the year. They were the preseason pick to win the Super Bowl 2 years ago. So it's now for them. I think it's on Allen. I think Lamar's runway is significantly longer with this incarnation of each team, if that makes sense. And by the way, you're listening to 850 WKNR Cleveland, a good Karma brand station.
What a big B.
Awesome. The music bed right now is just fantastic behind us.
I love
us.
It. So exciting. Yep.
Who do you feel more confident in to get to the Super Bowl? Number one seeded Baltimore in the AFC or number one seeded San Francisco in the NFC? Bishop.
Well, my hometown Niners. I mean, you guys knew I grew up a Steve Young fan and always felt that he was the greatest Niner.
Yep. Hype video. Hype host.
And if it's possible, if it's at all possible that Young could have got that job earlier, perhaps we would have had 7 straight Super Bowls in San Francisco because Joe was kind of washed at the end. So, you know, it's been a while. But I think the Niners clearly are the correct answer.
I could see you as a young 49ers fan, young man. You wake up in the morning. Yeah. You have a solo brunch in your Joe Montana jersey. You run amok. You challenge authority. Yeah. You think you're the king of the world. All of a sudden, you get yelled at, and then you're crying and saying, I'm the worst. I'm the worst, pointing at 16. And not saying you're the worst. That Joe Montana is the worst. And now you want a Steve Young
personally.
Jersey.
And you wanted pity.
That's really,
yeah. Just I got to get him that. I do have to get him a Joe Montana jersey just to complete the circle. Yeah.
Please.
I'm assuming you're going with San Francisco as well.
Yes, the AFC is a much easier path than the AFC. Because I'm assuming incorrectly, but it feels like whoever wins this game is going to have to play either Baltimore's going to play Buffalo, or somebody's going to have to play Baltimore or Buffalo. I don't see both Buffalo and Baltimore getting eliminated this round. So I think it's a tougher road there. For the Niners, I mean, Detroit is the biggest opposition left.
And they got to come to you.
Yeah.
I think San Francisco is really.
I like their chances.
It's the Santa Clara 49ers.
Yeah, yes. It's real easy for them.
It's the Santa Clara Radio Network.
That's right.
Will Puka Nacua get more consideration for Offensive Player of the Year than C.J. Stroud gets for MVP? Segura.
It's an interesting question. So I think Offensive Player of the Year is going to be dominated by Christian McCaffrey to the point where I think it'll almost be unanimous. Now, if you're talking, will Puka Nacua get more Offensive Rookie of the Year consideration than maybe you would expect relative to C.J. Stroud? I think the answer to that is yes. I mean, the guy set the record for most receiving yards by rookie in NFL history. He was a 5th-round pick. He was really good. I think Stroud will get more MVP consideration than Nacua will get for Offensive Player of the Year because he's going to be in line behind. I think every vote could go to McCaffrey or Tyreek Hill.
The problem is like these were voted on before last weekend. So Nacua is, if it's Offensive Rookie of the Year, he's going to finish 2nd to Stroud.
Agreed.
But because Stroud didn't get his performance against us to be considered for MVP, so
it'll
he could
closer.
Finish like 8th. Because he missed 2 games, so
yeah, but he did have the nice performance against Indy in the play-in game.
He did, but he wasn't like it wasn't like an overwhelming. It was pretty good, but I think he'll be down the list. Like I think it's going to go Lamar. It'll go Lamar, Dak, McCaffrey,
Allen, McCaffrey.
Yeah, whereas like Offensive Player of the Year, I think you're right. It's going to go those two, and then Nacua could be like 5th. It could be interesting. They could be about the same, honestly.
Yeah.
All right. Up next, who would you want on your team more next season? Derrick Henry or Saquon Barkley? Bishop, I believe this one goes to you.
Well, it really just depends on the team. I would take younger legs with less wear and tear, so I would take Saquon. I think
gives you more in the pass game as well.
So much tread. Like, there's very specific place for Derrick Henry. I'm not sure what it would be.
Hopefully
Saquon,
not
I think
AFC
you could play
North.
Anywhere.
Agreed. Final one. Fact or fiction, Baker Mayfield will get an extension from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this offseason. Zagura.
Yes. I think he will. I don't think it's going to be
a large
break the bank, reset the quarterback market. But, yeah, I think he's shown that he can certainly be the guy in the near future for them. Yes, and I think he's deserving of it.
You got to take care of Mike Evans first.
I think he's gone. I think they shift to a – I think that they will shift to a kind of a retool because they got – they're aging everywhere. So
they are.
But I do think they will extend him because he's kind of the perfect guy for that. He's a big follow me to freedom guy. So I think – it kind of fits well. I could see it being like a 2-3 year deal, shorter term. But, I think
I gotcha. All right, that's the debut of the CBD Whip.
I like the Whip. Big fan of the Whip.
There we go.
Coming up next, we will head to the podium. Again, it's a mailbag edition of the program as well, so get your questions into Gibbe. You listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Pet Supplies Plus, a winning team that crushed the competition. Everyday low prices, more selection. Powerhouse lineup of fan favorites like Purina Pro Plan and more. Great for dogs, cats, fish, and reptiles. Pet Supplies Plus is your MVP. Now let's head to the podium. Linebacker Anthony Walker.
I know the last couple of years you left here, we didn't know if you'd come back or not. Like, are you open to the idea again?
Yeah. Like I said, anytime I'm able to play this game of football, wherever it is, I'm going to take that opportunity and run with it, whether that's here or anywhere else. You know, those decisions aren't up to me. You know, that's my agent. That's, you know, front office anywhere here in this building or anywhere else. So whatever that opportunity is and, you know, wherever I do have the opportunity to play football next year, I'm going to, you know, take that opportunity and run with it, you know, and be the best player that I can be, whether that's here or anywhere else.
Anthony, you've been around a lot of teams over your life. What set this team apart, maybe beyond on the field?
Yeah, off the field. You know, that's exactly how I describe it. I thought we were a really close-knit group. I don't know if you guys remember when I said this, but when we went to L.A. and we came back after those two losses, and I said we lost those two games, but we got closer as a team, and it'll be better for us moving forward. And I remember somebody said, well, we want to win more than we want you guys to get close, right? And we won and we got close. So, you know, like I said, that trip was really crucial for us, for our success this year. And also the, you know, the training camp, Greenbrier. Yeah, I forgot the name for a second. But that was a huge one as well. So very close-knit group, you know, and I think when you have that culture in the locker room, it makes it easy to play the game with each other. You know, and you have that next man up mentality, but you believe in that person because they've been through the grind with you. And when you're close like that, you know the next person is prepared to play as well.
How much of a culture change do you feel like there was this year on this team in general, and just how much of it is just that together?
Yeah, it's like a huge culture difference. A lot of guys, a lot of vets come in this year, especially in that D-line room, really kind of set the stage for us. And then, like you said, that closeness, that close-knit bond that you create. I think Greenbrier was probably the best thing to happen to us. It was nothing to do there. So you're there with your teammates and you do everything together. So I think that was huge for us. And yeah, one of the more closer teams that I've been on. And you know, that's a testament to AB and, you know, Kevin and them bringing in the right guys. And you know, you have the right guys in the locker room. You have a season, you know, obviously, you minus the injuries that you want to have.
Not playing anybody in the Cincinnati game, did that have any impact in the Houston game?
I mean, you're going to say that now because we lost, right? But if we win yesterday and the guys looks refreshed and everything, you know, you can't make that decision off of, you know, the result. You know, I think Kevin did what was best for the team, and AB the same thing. I think they knew what the guys needed, you know. And like I said, if we win that game, you're not even asking me that question. So, you know.
Anthony, JOK was all over the place yesterday. How has he grown this year, especially in this scheme?
There you go right there. No, I think for him, just taking that next step of becoming a complete player, on the field, off the field, a leader in this locker room. And I say one thing that I truly – commend him on is learning how to handle hard better. I stole that actually from someone, Carol Lawson, Duke women's basketball coach. But handling hard better for him was huge. Earlier in the season, you know, there was a game where he didn't play well and he let it affect him the whole game. And you know, now you see him, he makes plays, or if he misses a play, he moves on to the next play really fast. You know, and that's tough to do, you know, sometimes, because you want to make every play. You want to be, you know, almost 100% always. And then, you know, as a young player, you understand that, you know, as long as you're going 100 miles an hour and you know, doing the best that you can, you're going to make plays. And he's a special player. He understands that. So him taking that next step forward as a leader, as a, you know, impact player on this team. I texted him after the game yesterday. I said, if he's not the best linebacker in the NFL next year, that's his fault. you know, because he has everything that it takes.
You guys were so close this year as a team, which is it's not easy to do when you have so many different personalities. Can that be replicated, and, you know, can that be something that just becomes inherent with this locker room going forward?
Yeah, when you build a culture, you just want to make sure you bring guys in that fits that culture, and I think that's one step. I'll also say that it's, you know, I was talking to guys earlier, and this it was a special season, right? And then you go through all that adversity, and that's what makes it more special. And then it's dimmed yesterday because you lose. And all it is because the specialness was supposed to keep going. You know, you think that, like, oh, it's supposed to keep going. Like, we have overcome so much. Why can't we just keep overcoming, right? And that's the way this game is. And we're just not the one, right? We're not the team that's the specialness continued for. We're one of the 31 who, you know, lost and not and going to make the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl. So we never want to take that for granted. Like, we, I mean, as a team, we obviously we accomplished a lot. Defensively, you know, being the number one defense, you know, that's rare. You never, you know, I've never been a part of that before. So, you know, you never want to take away the good, and you use the bad as the fuel, you know, for next year.
You're such a leader and a captain on this team. Mm-hmm. Players gravitated towards you. How hard would it be if, you know, the chips fall where they may and you ended up leaving here? How hard would it be to leave this locker room?
I mean, football is special, man. You know, you build so many bonds, and I always think, like, whatever team I'm on, I'm going to be there forever. I'm going to have the same set of friends every day. And it's almost like elementary school. You keep moving up grades, and you're like, oh, I don't see that person anymore or whatever. But the special part about football is it's an opportunity. You know, you never take it for granted. Like, whether I'm here, whether I'm, you know, wherever I am, I want to be the best teammate. I want to be the best version of myself for that team. It'll be hard, you know, to answer your question. It will be hard, but it's part of the game. You know, we understand that. I talked to the younger guys earlier, and I was like, the locker room's going to look different, you know. And I've been a part of a Colts organization where I was there for 4 years, and I've seen people in and out. And I've been here for 3 years, and I've seen the same thing, people in and out. So, you know, you never want to take the game and being able to play for granted, wherever that is. So, yeah, we'll see.
What do you remember most from this season?
39-year-old Joe Flacco. Not for what you guys think of on the field, but the person that he was off the field, and coming in and, you know, I could tell his story now the season's over, but we had a team outing in L.A., and he showed up, and I think that was a huge point in our season where guys saw him. And, you know, most quarterbacks, you know, you at that age and, you know, what he's done in his career, he could have easily been like, man, I'm tired, I'm going in, and, you know, whatever. But, you know, we're 1:30, 2 o'clock, and, you know, he's hanging with the guys. So I think that was really special.
Man, that's a great story right there from AWOC. Still so much, and I do mean that, including the mailbag coming up. You listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Part one of the most passionate fan bases in the National Football League. Join NextGen STM, presented by Ticketmaster, the official wait list of your Cleveland Browns. Being a NextGen STM, best chance to become a season ticket member in future seasons. Visit clevelandbrowns.com/NextGenSTM to reserve your spot today. When does the...
Hold on.
What did I miss?
Right now.
I put the
hold on right now.
And I just did it without thinking about it.
Because that's what you have to do when you're in this room. And I look to my right, and what do I see? Gibbe tapping a microphone to see if it's on.
Hold on.
Yes, that's
I did not tap. I didn't go like he does.
Right.
I just was like. I don't know.
It's on camera, dude.
I totally got busted. I was like,
who knows, dying back here.
I was like,
he's hyperventilating with laughter.
I did one little tap.
No, it was two taps.
And I looked up, and he's like,
oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
Like, oh, come on,
Z. It was mostly your face, which
made me lose it was the look of like, oh my goodness, this is going to be a moment.
Oh, man. I was so excited. So just so you know, Bo actually didn't hurt his back. We had him stay home because I had a feeling that if you got into that chair today, you were going to do that. And bam, it delivered.
It all happened.
I mean, this is like, folks, this is what I deal with. And I was like, I've been getting yelled at for years about this. And then you're in here and you're, no, I go like this.
No, you don't. You do not. No, you don't.
Unbelievable.
I would like to roll the tape back on that.
Now he's
Kevin even knows.
Kevin, where's Jason Hervey at? Let's get him to smack him around. Listen, the bottom line is this. You got that?
But I'm there.
Now we're trying to differentiate into the volume of the tap. Yeah. I mean, give me a break.
Like,
the bottom line is
between
all taps are created equal.
You're and tapping the microphone, dude.
Because the this mic on?
Right. You don't know. You sat there not knowing if your mic was on or not. Because we don't have the on-off lights. On-off cough. Easy.
Do you know how I've navigated it through all these years? Is I just turn it on. The only one that I don't know is the first one. Because from that point on, as soon as the segment's over, I turn it off. And I've just gotten the habit of turning it off as soon as the segment's over.
But
so
sometimes
I know
you
got to turn it on when it comes back up.
But then sometimes
you're a professional.
Sometimes you get no. He'll agree with me with this. Sometimes you get the you've turned it on, but they haven't potted you up yet. Then you're on off.
Then you're
on,
confused.
You're like, now you don't even know what
you have.
No clue.
Yeah,
I don't know about anything like that.
Yeah, I was great.
We don't do anything.
I am so happy.
That makes your Thursday.
My goodness.
The look on your face.
I can't wait to
see that. And you knew the look on your face when you were caught. It was like he hung his head in immediate shame.
Oh, that is good.
Oh, that was great.
That is very good.
Oh, God. Man.
We've got a healthy dose of
I mean,
mailbag
you never know
questions.
If we're going to see each other for a while. We got a winter storm coming in. Who knows?
Yeah.
This could be my last image
of you
until
snow,
next
right?
Monday.
Is that the deal?
Yeah, more than 7 inches.
Know.
More than 7 inches.
Ask some people in this building, we're never going to see each other again until April.
Well,
other people are like, 8:30 tomorrow morning.
To be fair, there was a Friday like that once. I mean, going into COVID, I remember that quite well.
Yeah.
I remember you had we came in, there were boxes, and it was, I don't know when we'll see you again.
I went to Mexico and never came back.
I forgot about that.
That's right. You went to Mexico. You never came back.
I never came back.
And you weren't in the building. We weren't in the building again for.
We weren't allowed in the building.
Forever.
Because we had just.
You and
I'm
came
saying
back.
We came back on a Wednesday. We came back on Wednesday.
Yeah.
We called on Wednesday and we're like, hey, we've just been traveling, you know, internationally. Mm-hmm. They're like. Yeah, why don't you guys stay home and then you'll come in on Monday. And then by Friday, the office was closed and we never came back.
When did we get back?
A long time.
He and I were allowed back in. They built a wall down the middle of the facility. Do you remember this?
They
built a wall and Zagur and I were allowed to be in here because Zagur could be in here and I could be on the other side of the glass.
But I had to walk by you.
But yeah,
of course, made no sense.
But we didn't come back into like 2021, wasn't it?
No. Yeah, it was through the whole season, wasn't
it? No, it was fall of 2020. We came back in because the video stream was sponsored.
And
they were like, you have to come back.
You
were like,
come back.
All right, great.
That's right.
I don't remember that.
But then we got kicked out again when there was a spike around Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Right.
And
right,
the moment we got everything back, then we had to leave again.
Question.
And I don't think I came in until the next summer.
I don't think you came in until 20. Yeah, summer of 21. It wasn't like a full back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think we can summer in the condo again? I thought that was fun. I think that's a fun place to be for OTAs.
That is an HR question. Like to.
Well, we know those people well.
I know you'd like to. You moved in.
That was great.
You had a fully stocked fridge. You had barbecues. Basically lived life.
It was like his summer cottage.
You're darn right it was.
It was. It was a summer cottage.
Don't knock it till you try.
I did like it over there. It was very good.
The undisclosed location.
And it seemed like the our guests liked it as well because they just would walk over.
We had so many fireside chats. We had more fireside chats than we had in studio chats.
The coach.
Coach.
Yeah.
Coach literally, you weren't there.
I was gone.
Coach literally came by.
Yeah.
You said, I'll hang up for
chat.
Like 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, a little fireside
chat.
Yeah. Well, there's something about it.
All right. So this
fireside chat.
We got a lot done here. We got a lot established. Most importantly,
We've got Gibby caught red-handed.
Red-handed. Video.
Very sad.
All of it. And
sad.
His reaction to it is all on video. It's all there. I like, hey, somebody out there, you guys are very good at this. I want a GIF made of that and sent to me, a GIF of me seeing him, him seeing me see him, and his hanging his head in shame. I want that. And if you can somehow get Uno, who wasn't on camera, his laughter in the background, that'd be great too. But
that would be.
We'll deal with what's actually available to you.
That'll be as. That's probably as close to the Todd Haley as we'll come. Like, wait, what?
Wait, what? The pure shock.
No, that's happening right now. Right
all
down
of this
the hall.
Is happening at
I
the
just,
same time.
I just walked in on it.
Yeah.
Nothing
right,
else
will,
is going to happen.
We will hit the mailbag coming up next. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Time for a Mailbag Thursday presented by the Cross Country Mortgage Company, official mortgage partner of your Cleveland Browns. When it comes to financing, they're always going to get you home. Visit ccm.com today. Equal housing opportunity, NMLS 3029. Hello, Gibby.
Hi.
Gibby.
I like the new traveling music. Kev's.
It's great, man. Come on, Willie.
I feel like we need to end the show with the Wonder Years theme song.
He might be like a little Joe Cocker.
Like
he
that.
Just had to bring that back up, didn't you? No, I love it. I love that nickname.
That song's ridiculous.
Great song. Yeah.
Willie Nelson, Red Lodge, Montana. Watched him when I was probably 20, 21, something in there. He performed for about 5 hours. And you think you only know like this from Willie Nelson, but he really wrote everything in the 60s and 70s and even into the 50s. Like, even if you have no frame of reference on country music, I bet you'd know 20 Willie Nelson songs.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I agree with
They've
that.
They've been used in numerous advertisements.
Yeah.
Time for the mailbag. Tweet your questions to @Browns_daily. No hashtag needed. He is loving life right now.
I liked watching you do that looking right into the camera, too. It was great.
Did you like that?
I did like it.
I'm a professional once in a while.
It's great.
H. Schneider, love you guys. Big fan of the show. Season ended far too early. Question for you, what is our running back room going to look like next year?
Whew.
We will get to the position reviews coming up, but
yeah,
I think Chubb, Ford, Strong, and I would not rule out the possibility that they draft somebody third round.
Cut. Yeah, you have to, because we all love Nick, but that's an incredible variable with that injury, and Jerome did a nice job, but I don't think we were dynamic enough at the position once Nick went down.
Chris Denny had tweeted the show. Going to Phoenix in March for a conference, best golf course in that area to play. FYI, I'm not good. I know you responded.
I said the Troon courses. They're just so beautiful. They're hard,
but they're great. Awesome. These are all great. There's so many out there in North Scottsdale.
I was going to say. You better book your tee times now. Look at this guy.
Look at him. What's he got? Popped collar. Look at it. Painted on khakis again. Just painted right on there.
Yeah.
Monica just painted right on there.
Is he flipping tails again?
He's dancing. He's doing a lot of things. This time it's a swacket. It's an olive.
Oh, he loves
quilted.
Reminds me of what jacket
an olive quilted swacket.
But his has probably got a few more zeros on the end of it than mine.
It might.
Yeah.
There you go.
Just go and have yourself a lot of cocktails and live your best life in Phoenix, buddy.
Great.
In March.
Have a great time. Make sure you get the Barrio Queen. Fine taco place. The one in Old Town, Scottsdale, treat.
Who is a better wrestler? This is from JXDub727. Savage, Mr. Perfect, or Bret Hart?
Two of my favorites in that trio there. And I know there are a lot of huge Bret Hart fans out there. The best there was, the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. Mach, Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig. You're talking about just wrestling?
Yeah, what is he talking? I think he's talking about just wrestling. He's not talking about.
He was a better wrestler.
Bret Hart should get some credit for that. But Mach was unbelievable too. But I loved Mr. Perfect, and he was absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
Kyle has the video.
Somebody got it? Somebody got it?
Let's go.
Kyle, the moment we've all been waiting for. Good Except job. For me, Kyle. Thanks. Appreciate it. Oh, I hate to see it.
Oh, we need one more second where you smile, but I need one more second where you drop your head. The best. Oh, it's pure joy. Kyle, great job.
Good job.
Yes. Yes.
Marie wrote, with NFL Plus, I can go back and watch past season's games. What games from past seasons are worth rewatching?
I'm not a rewatch guy.
Not a game.
Excuse me? Like a Browns game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. All right, off the top of my head.
Now, we're going to have some fun with this coming up in the over the course of the next few weeks.
Off the top of my head. And you said any season?
Yeah.
Like recent.
From past seasons.
I'm going to stay in in my time here. The win in Baltimore in 2015 with Josh McCown, where big play Gare catches it with his keister.
Buttocks.
Yeah, and we win it in overtime with the Travis Coons walk-off field goal. That's a fun game to watch. Obviously, Thursday night against the Jets was this season, but I'll say Thursday night against the Jets when we opened the fridges.
With McCown when we boat raced the Ravens?
We did a boat race. It was overtime.
The Steelers playoff game is pretty money, too.
Steelers playoff game. It's just when you watch the games in that environment, though, it's just not – it's not the same.
But on TV, they did a pretty good job of you. They got so good at it by the end that you didn't even really know on TV. Like, you were there, so you knew the environment was lacking. But on television, because they just shot everything tighter, so you really didn't. It wasn't that much of a difference.
Okay. Yeah, that would be a good one. The game in Tennessee. From 2020 with the DPJ bomb, and then you had the one where Baker did the red carpet where he slides into the picture on Hollywood's red carpet. And then
there's
Cincinnati
game.
Cincinnati 2020. Yeah, the comeback to DPJ. That's the first game DPJ ever caught a pass.
Yeah.
Gibby, I ask you this all the time to see if you get it. Who threw the first pass that DPJ ever caught in the NFL?
Why? I haven't done today to amuse you.
You know this, dude. You
we
know
did this
it.
Like a month ago.
We did this 100
we
times.
We did this a month ago. I don't remember off the top of my
head. Not a quarterback. That's why obviously it would be Baker otherwise.
It was Odell.
Ugh.
Or Jarvis?
Jarvis Landry.
Oh,
Jarvis
my
Landry.
Goodness. Come on, Gibby.
It was Odell. Odell tore his ACL in the beginning of that game, Gibby.
Yeah.
Was that in the beginning of that game?
Yeah, it was the first pass of the game. It was a pick, and he tore his ACL.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Forgot about that. Ask me again next month. I won't get it right either. Jersey Dog tweets at the show, "Hello, boys. What was your very first car?" I had a Reliant K car. And I put nine people in that car after a basketball practice. Clowned it up. People were in the trunk. And who do I pull up next to driving home? My mother. So last time there were nine people in a Reliant K.
Oh, man, by the way.
That's such an incredible view.
Preston just tweeted it out where you actually headbutt the microphone in disgust and shame.
Yes.
Good. Oh, my God. It's so good. It's so good. Yes. All right, I got to follow this guy. I got to get him to send
1974 Chevrolet Cheyenne half-ton pickup. Mint green and white.
Woo, the mint green.
And mine.
I wanted it baby blue, but of course they couldn't get baby blue, so I had to settle for mint green, which was less than what I was hoping for. But it was fine. It was a fine vehicle.
1973 Chevy Nova.
God, that's perfect.
It was actually an Oldsmobile Omega, but it's the exact same car, and I would like to think of it as a Chevy Nova.
I love it.
Preston, reaching back into the deep parts of your childhood, what was your favorite cartoon growing up if you watched them? Mine was Pinky and the Brain. Good. That's a good one.
Oh, man. Yeah. Mine's easy.
Love that.
Easy.
What do you got?
Gummy bears.
Bouncing here and there and everywhere.
High adventure that's beyond compare. Well,
they are the gummy bears.
Yes. Big gummy bears guy.
Yep. There was a time when there was a Zorro cartoon that was unbelievable that I loved. And then my two favorites were G.I. Joe, Real American Hero, and He-Man.
Good one.
Masters of the Universe.
He-Man.
Big
By the power of Grayskull.
Yeah, that's right.
I love
that's
Fat Albert, too.
What was that one that I liked that we did this? Somebody asked us this a while ago. It was like a kind of anime where they were like on, looked like battleships in the space.
I remember you trying to describe this, and I never, I didn't have a point of reference on it then.
Somebody got it to me, though. I remember finding it, and it was, it holds up so great.
All right, more questions.
What?
I was talking to Uno.
Uno's doubled over laughing.
You know why?
Why?
It's an off-air conversation.
Uno.
We'll have it after the show.
Uno.
Bobby time.
Bobby!
Question for Bishop. Has Bootsy gotten the punishment yet?
No. It was close last night. He was on the cusp. He was throwing a big pity party. I'm the worst. I suck. Blah, blah, blah. All to make you feel sorry for him, despite him being the one who's creating all of the problems. It was close. But it's going to be so devastating. I didn't want to hit him with it at like 10 o'clock at night, because then it would have taken 40 minutes for him to understand it and get over it. So it has to be a meltdown that happens midday. So he's not gotten it yet.
You almost need a weekend.
Yeah, you need time. Yeah.
You need some time. He knows, though. I put it in. He knows.
I think so. Because he's avoided it since you've given it to me. He's avoided
it. Yeah, we're connected.
Yeah. Would you rather be the funniest person in the room or the smartest person in the room?
Easy.
Yes.
Same.
No, you have to pick one.
If you're the smartest, you're going to be the funniest.
That's my answer.
You're going to be able to come up with good humor.
That's my answer. That's always 100%. Take intelligence.
Yeah.
Bobby wants to know, are you coming back to AIW and when?
Yeah, absolutely. Soon. Soon. I don't know if I'll be at the one at the Tadmore, but soon. Absolutely.
Bobby, I think this is kind of a dumb question. Would you rather live without heat and AC or live without social media?
Oh, my God. If I give up social media in a second.
Please.
Yes.
The only thing I would miss is my suggested follows on Instagram. That's it. Everything else I can do without.
Is it one of those Zagura?
Yeah, it's great. It's like my Instagram suggested for me knows me better than anybody. It knows exactly what I'm into.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, maybe I will one day. By the way, I don't follow you on Instagram.
Why not?
We're 2-0. I don't know. You popped up the other day. I was like, I thought I was.
Well, that's because mine got deleted. It got deleted and had to be remade.
I'm not going
to
follow yet.
You don't have to. I'm not like a big on the gram.
Yeah. There's more cartoon stuff. Does every NFL team have their own radio show? They do not. Mm-mm. That's why we were doing Minnesota Vikings Daily and DLD. And
DLD?
CBD.
SF 490.
You have your own late night talk show. Who do you invite as your first guest?
LD.
Larry David. Yep, same. Larry David. Easy, easy answer. Who could I play golf with? Larry David. Yep. All LD. All the time.
Menudo Man, what game show do you think you could win?
Wheel of Fortune.
What was that game where you go around? Whammy!
That was a great game. Big Bucks, No Whammies.
Kids?
Press
your
luck.
Big Bucks, No Whammies. Yeah, press your luck.
Press your luck. Yeah, I could also do the – you remember the Hollywood Squares?
I could do that too.
Yeah.
I would have done Hollywood Squares.
I think in my peak I could have done all right on American Gladiators and then gone to their after parties.
you versus Turbo?
Yeah. Come on,
those
Turbo.
Those guys like waiting for you?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You would have thrived in the after parties for sure. That's a lock.
Yeah. That's why I want to get on the show.
And that's today's mailbag.
Would you take the beating to go on the just to be able to go to the after party?
Yes.
Because the beatings are biblical. They're biblical beatings. Like people separated shoulders and broken limbs and tendons. I mean, it's the beatings some of those contestants took was unreal.
Yeah,
it's
I think that I would have.
Ridiculous if that happened.
I would have ingratiated myself prior so that they would have, they would have taken it a little bit easier on me.
Yeah. You hope.
I hope.
Yeah. All right. Good job. So much more to come. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN.
What would you think if I sang out a tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me?
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Covering, have a little help for my friends. This is great.
Amazing. That's by the way, have you looked at your text messages?
I already deleted it.
No, I haven't.
And I think I blocked you.
There are two of them. Unbelievable edits. One where it zooms in on Gibby at the end that is just, it's just priceless.
It's amazing that this has happened. It's been captured. Thank God we have a stream.
Thank goodness for the stream.
It's brought to you by nobody. But the show is brought to you by Ballybet.
It's like brought to you by Ballybet.
I'm just saying.
Was
no,
that
no.
a sales
the
pitch?
The show
is, that
a, is
that
brought to you by Ballybet, but the stream is not
the
sponsored.
Stream is
that,
not
you could
you by
sponsor
anyone.
The stream.
So that's how you
just
approach
imagine
sales,
the value.
Huh? I like that.
That's why I'm on the marketing side.
Imagine the value of that. All right. We will reconvene tomorrow. The Next Level is coming up next. Thanks for listening, everybody. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and 850 ESPN Cleveland.